Hey, what?
Sorry. Duncan!
I want to put the number thing.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Yeah, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just gonna have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Good evening, everybody. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show special edition here at 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this program part of your Thursday night as we are coming to you live from the WMFO studios in Medford, Massachusetts. A really brutal night if you're a Bruins fan. And I know a lot of you are just leaving the game or were just watching the game and so forth. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to exchange pleasantries as if everything is kumbaya, everything is okay. Frankly, I am pissed off. I am aggravated. I am a lot of emotions that are not good right now as it pertains to this Bruins team. If you're feeling the same way, or if you're feeling indifferent, or if whatever that you may be feeling, you can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Let's just get straight to it, because this entire show is going to be about the Boston Bruins game tonight. Because I'm at a point now where there are some hard truths that has to be said about this Bruins team right now. But let's focus specifically on tonight's game, because a lot of the issues that I've seen so far as it pertains to this Bruins team has manifested in full tonight. Bruin fans that may have been in denial before, now you cannot deny. There's no running from the truth. There's no cowering or hiding underneath rocks, pretending that there aren't deep-rooted issues within this team. Well, it's 11 games in. Yeah, it's 11 games in. But holy smokes, if tonight was not the moment that you have in which that your alarms are going off, I don't know when is. Should I start with the fact that defensively, they look like absolute hot garbage? They look like absolute hot garbage defensively in tonight's game against Edmonton. Well, this is the first time we're going to have a good look at the Edmonton Oilers in 2021-2022. Yeah, you had a pretty long look, all right. You had a pretty damn long look as to why they are number one in the Western Conference entering this game. And let's take it another notch, shall we? Because I, for one, was beginning to wonder, why is it that the Bruins and four out of the five losses have looked so bad defensively? Tonight explains everything that I was wondering. Let's talk about that Leon Draisaitl goal. Or should I say, because he scored two of them in the third period. The first one to give the Oilers the lead. And then the first one was to tie it up for Edmonton. The second one was to give the Oilers the go-ahead goal. Defensive breakdowns in which that this is so unlike the Boston Bruins that we have become accustomed to. to the fullest extent. And the part that has me aggravated is, what the hell are we watching with this blue line? I mean, seriously, what are we watching? Are we watching Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo be two of your best defensemen right now? Meanwhile, Grizzlick absolutely is struggling. Meanwhile, like, I absolutely begin to wonder, like, what the hell is Derek Forbort doing? What is Connor Clifton doing? What is Mike Riley doing? What are those guys doing? I mean, let's be brutally honest. Tonight, Brandon Carlo absolutely sucked. He was on the ice for two of those goals, and so was Matt Grizzlick. I mean, goodness grief. This was a team in seasons past that you could rely on and say, this was a team that has structure in its own zone, playing in its own zone in front of the net, and they were going to be able to be defensively sound. You haven't really seen that this season so far. Defensively, this team has absolutely been atrocious. And I mean, goodness grief, the entire game, I looked at and I said, well, this is an Oilers team that is only a matter of time before you make a mistake. And boy, did the Bruins make a lot of mistakes tonight against a high-powered Edmonton Oilers team that absolutely has scoring depth that the Bruins are envious of right about now. Evan Bouchard, who scored the game-tying goal in this game in the first period, that's someone that you don't think of as like a usual suspect. But man, you look up and down this Oilers lineup, guys that chipped in and scored tonight. Guys like Bouchard, guys like Zach Hyman, who has 8 goals. Oh, let's not pretend that we haven't heard that name before. After all, this is a guy that played in Toronto, so Bruin fans should be pretty well-versed as to what Hyman can do offensively. And then, oh, stop me if you've heard the name of Leon Draisaitl. I mean, we all knew what Draisaitl can do. I mean, hell, before the game, I was saying to myself, well, let's just hope that Connor McDavid doesn't add the Boston Bruins to his hottest mixtape of 2021. Happy holidays. Let me embarrass you the same way that I embarrassed the New York Rangers the other night. Well, thankfully, he didn't. But his Robin, Leon Draisaitl, because let's be honest, Connor McDavid is Batman and Leon Draisaitl is Robin. He said, oh, no worries, Connor. I got you, my friend. 2 goals, one of which that tied the game, the other one in which put the Oilers ahead for good. And in both goals that Draisaitl scored, the defense, oh my God, you want to talk about absolutely leaving freaking Linus Ullmark out to dry? This was it. This was exactly it. I am pissed because there's a whole laundry list of issues with this Bruins team. But I'm focused on the defensive struggles for this team right now. There's a lot more to talk about over the course of the next hour as I'll be here with you until 11 o'clock Eastern Time. I don't know how you could possibly feel good about where this Bruins team is and the issues that this team is facing defensively right now. I don't know how many of you had the opportunity to watch some of the postgame on Nesson before tuning into the program, but I had a chance to watch and listen to Bruce Cassidy talk during that press conference. And let's be honest, he sounded like a man who was pissed. Frustrated. And I don't blame him one bit. Because it seems like that this team is either struggling to adjust themselves and to play within the structure that Cassie has set for this team, or this defense for the Boston Bruins is really not that good. If you watched the game tonight and you heard Jack Edwards talk about this during the third period, the goal differential for the Boston Bruins in the third period is among the absolute worst in the NHL this season so far. They're ranked, 29th in the NHL? That is alarming. Absolutely alarming. If that doesn't concern you, then I don't know what does. Defensively, this team should scare you. Not scare you because, this is a pretty damn good defensive unit in front of the goalie, whichever one that's in there, whether it's Swayman or Ullmark. No, they're scary bad. And it's not like Edmonton is the most stout defensive team in the league either. This is a team, and I'm talking about the Oilers now, that absolutely is known to give it up in their own end in terms of offense, in terms of goal scoring. But I don't know if you watched the game tonight or maybe you listened to it on the radio. How do you possibly not feel a level of anger and frustration with the team? Because I'm feeling it now. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, this team is going to get it all figured out and that, it's early and whatnot. No, stop. Ring the damn alarm. Ring it. Time to be concerned. Because the defense and the defending of the blue line and the guys in front of their own goalie, not good. Not good. Now, obviously, there's 71 games remaining, and a lot can change. But we're not thinking that far ahead. We're thinking right now. If you're a Bruins fan and you're listening to this program, and you have any thoughts on based upon what I just said, call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Because, man, listen, stop me if you've heard this before already, as it pertains to the 2021-2022 Bruins team, that defense in front of their goalie, porous, weak, really an abomination, if you will. Yes, I'm calling the defensive core in front of either Ullmark or Swayman porous, atrocious, an abomination. I've said this before. McAvoy is your best defenseman. But after that, there is a steep drop-off in terms of defending in front of their own net. But Ullmark did not play well tonight. But this is not something that I'm putting on entirely on Ullmark when the defensemen in front of him and the Bruins' own forwards couldn't defend in their own end. Just flat out atrocious. I don't know. Like if you watch the game tonight, maybe you'll watch Bruins in 2 later tonight. Oh, I don't know. But the thing that I keep coming back to is the breakdowns. It just seemed like the Oilers were able to break in cleanly into the zone cleanly without any sort of challenge in a multitude of instances tonight during this game. Man, if that does not concern you moving forward, then I don't know what is going to or what will. We're going to step aside for a music break. Coming up next, there's a lot to get into in terms of the Bruins right now. But this age-old issue has really got to a point where it's time to absolutely take this team to task. I want to tell you exactly what I'm talking about. Coming up next, right here on the Shukri Wright Show, here with you live until 11 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Stop! it away from me. If you do, I won't move. I just cry for no reason. I just pray for no reason. I give thanks for the day, for the hours, and another way, another life breathing. I did it all cause I feel good. I wouldn't do it at all if I feel bad.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Freeform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Taking your phone calls until 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Call me at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's a telephone number if you're listening live and you want to get a hold of me, talk Bruins, as they just blew another third period lead again and allowed the Oilers to score three unanswered goals in the third period and fall to the Edmonton Oilers 5-3. We're talking about it this entire show. We're just talking Bruins tonight. We're going to talk Bruins, this entire program, and as well as just really get into what are the issues that is plaguing this team that is glaring. It's not this is just a conspiracy. No, it's real. If you saw tonight's game and if you've been watching the games throughout the season so far, the issues are glaring and it's at a point now where I'm calling attention to it and I'm going to really get into it when it calls for it. And this is the game that I look at for the Boston Bruins and wish that they absolutely just they just shot themselves in the foot over and over and over again. And what made it even worse was that towards the end of that third period, it just became abundantly clear to me that this team, when it comes to defending in its own end, just makes costly mistakes that is hurting this team right now. And I'm glad I wasn't the only one who noticed, like, in which that it was talked about during the post game on Nesson, in which Billy Jaffe talked about it. And I'm of those who believe right now that the Bruins, I don't know if they are going to be able to really resolve this quickly, but I am concerned in terms of the overall talent on the blue line outside of McAvoy. McAvoy, you know what you're going to get. Grizzly just had a bad game tonight. And so did Brandon Carlo. But this unit as a whole, I am very concerned with the way that they have looked through the first 11 games so far this season. And even moving forward, because they got a game in New Jersey against the Devils on Saturday afternoon before they return back home for a Sunday night showdown against their arch rival, the Montreal Canadiens, who will be making their first visit to the TD Garden for the first time since before the pandemic. So this is a team that has some serious question marks facing them right now. Here we are 11 games into the season. But with that being said, there's a particular issue that I am going to bring attention to that is not anything new, but I can't help but to sit here and to call attention to it again and have an honest conversation about this. Secondary scoring is a major fatal flaw that this Boston Bruins team have right now. What do you mean it's a fatal flaw? Go back and look at who scored tonight for the Boston Bruins. David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand, two out of the three on your top line, the perfection line. And then Brandon Carlo scored the third one, which put the Bruins ahead 3-2, headed towards the end of the second period. But as far as offense anywhere else from the second, third, and fourth line, where are you? Scooby, Scooby-Doo, where are you? Because we need some secondary scoring. Go ask Scooby-Doo, where's the secondary scoring? We have some work to do now. Yeah, you have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. Because going into the season, guess what the thought was? The thought was, this second and third line should be better. Yeah, we lost David Krejci on the second line, but my gosh, we're going to be a lot better. We'll be fine. We'll just put Charlie Coyle on the second line. It'll work out between him and Taylor Hall and Craig Smith. Everything will be just fine. Oh, really? How has that worked for you so far, Boston Bruins fans? Tell me. Seriously. Tell me the truth. How has that worked? It hasn't worked so far. It's not just about tonight's game. But this whole thought process of pulling Charlie Coyle on a second line and putting him in the top six to play alongside Taylor Hall and Craig Smith has not worked so far. Who would you rather put on the second line? Okay, I've said before that Jesse Nickel should be the guy, but even then, I'm not even sure if he is the guy to put on that second line right now. But the point of the matter is, they are missing David Krejci. They're missing David Krejci, and it shows. It absolutely shows. You want to do a side-by-side comparison between this team right now and last season, towards the end of last season when they had David Krejci still? Do a side-by-side comparison in terms of offensive production from that second line towards the end of the regular season, last regular season. And you compare that with what they're producing now. It's night and day, ladies and gentlemen. It is night and day. And it should worry the hell out of you. And I talked about this. You know what's funny? I actually talked about this on this show of one of my major concerns was going to be the second line centerman position. Who was going to fill that spot in? But also, secondary scoring. Secondary scoring has been an issue for this team for a while. But now, it's gotten worse. In ways that I never even thought it was even possible. But somehow, the secondary scoring for the Bruins has actually gotten worse. How? Well, we'll go out and get Eric Hall and put him on that third line, and perhaps we'll also put Jake DeBrusque on that third line as well. Should be no big deal, right? It should be better. Well, congratulations. You've gotten nothing out of Jake DeBrusque. And I sound like I want to cry, but I kind of do. Because I'm not saying give up on the guy. But holy smokes. Be honest with yourselves. You have gotten zilch. Nothing. Nothing. Out of the second and third lines. And what makes you think for one moment that this team could possibly compete with the likes of the Toronto Maple Leafs? And yes, we laugh at them constantly because they can't get any further than April Fools in terms of extending their season. I get that. But for God's sake, can we be brutally honest about something here, ladies and gentlemen? This is a bad, bad, bad sign for a team that's expected to be a playoff contender. Too much pressure is on that top line. And guess what's happening? If they don't score, they lose. The whole league knows it. If they're not scoring, good luck. Well, Tomasz Noszek should be a help, or Anton Blade should be a help. Neither one of them were a factor in tonight's game. And Noszek? Don't even get me started. Like, I would hope that he'd be more of a factor, but gosh. Curtis Lazar. I mean, Nick Foligno just came back from injury, so I'm not really getting on his case at all. But, I mean, really. You look at this second, third, hell, even the fourth line. How much of a factor are they for this offense on this team right now? Answer that honestly. Exactly my point. If you got any thoughts, call in. Hit me up at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. I'm just really pissed, ladies and gentlemen. I watched this game tonight, and I try to be the most optimistic. I try not to be a douche canoe, but my niceness is gone. It's completely gone out the window for this team. Seriously. If you watch tonight's game and you were wondering, well, when is the other line going to, like, you know, contribute a little bit? Just something? Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the answer is never. Never. It never came. That help never came. And then, okay, kudos to Brandon Carlo for scoring the goal that made it 3-2 Bruins ahead of the Oilers late in the second period. But other than that, nada. The defense blew tonight, and you got no secondary scoring either. So how exactly am I supposed to feel about this team right now? Here's a serious question I want to pose to you, Bruin fans. I'm serious. I want to pose this question to you right now. Who do you blame? Who do you blame for the team's struggles right now? Because there's a lot of major questions that needs to be asked. One of them being your third line, your second line, and your fourth line. And I know I just went out of order there, but you get my point. Your secondary scoring, where is that going to come from? Your defensive pairing, what's that looking like? Because right now, obviously, your top pairing is McAvoy and Grizzlick. But after that, what else can you honestly expect from Mike Riley, Jacob Zboril, Derek Forbort, Connor Clifton, Grizzlick? What can you honestly expect from those guys? Because as of unit, and with the exception of McAvoy, because McAvoy has played at an exceptional level so far, but as far as everyone else, oh God, have they crapped the bed, and it smells. It smells like baby poo. I try to be nice tonight. I really did, but I can't. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I pray that this is not a it's not a sign of things to come for the Bruins in 2021-2022. Because if it is, whew, it's time to really start calling into serious question management. Because I didn't hate the moves that they made during the offseason. But, and I do mean but, at what point do you begin to ask the hard questions of, do you think it's time to make a change in terms of philosophy as to how they are going about getting and signing free agents, and then two, roster decisions in terms of how are they putting together this roster? Because, like I said, and everybody who follows hockey knows this, they are a one-trick pony. And so far this season, they haven't proven me wrong yet. They are a one-trick pony, and teams have figured them out. And let me ask you this question, ladies and gentlemen, Bruin fans and hockey fans who are listening to this program. If this Bruins team were to play against the Toronto Maple Leafs or even, heck, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, how do you think they'll fare? Don't give me the whole baloney of, oh, they'll be fine. Like, everything will be sorted out. Like, they'll match up well against them. Stop it. Don't delude yourselves on the very truth that even the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, a team that's in your own division, they're better than you. They are better than you. Compare rosters. And I'm not even just going based upon their game from last weekend in Toronto. Compare rosters. They have more scoring depth than you do. That's the bitter, harsh truth, ladies and gentlemen. Deal with it. We're going to take a music break. Coming up next, I want to also share with you some thoughts on what was an emotional night at the Garden tonight. That and much more coming up next on the Shuker Wright Show right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
gotta pick it up like a call. I'ma hit it, I'ma leave that black sun to it until tomorrow, yeah.
Shorty, I can see that you got so much energy.
The way you're twirling up them hips round and round.
There's no reason at all why you can't leave here with me.
In the meantime, stay, let me watch you break it down. And
damn, gonna be okay.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFL in Medford, Tusk Free Forum Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Keep it locked into this station because after this program, the special edition of the Shukri Wright Show filling in for Two Coast Girls tonight is Button Pushers. That is going to be coming up at 11 o'clock from 11 to midnight, it looks like. Followed by Drop Day, which will be airing at midnight Eastern time. So stay tuned for that. Button Pushers is going to be coming up next after this show of the Shukri Wright Show that is filling in special edition for Two Coast Girls tonight. So for those who are looking for Two Coast Girls, the host is out tonight. I'm filling in until 11 o'clock Eastern time. And as always, phone calls are welcome. Call in 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to this program. And as a reminder, you can follow me on social media at Shukri Wright on Twitter at SHUKRIWRIGHTS is the Twitter handle to follow me on Twitter. And on Instagram, you can follow me there as well at SWrightRadio_. That is at SWrightRadio_. That's how you can follow me on social media as well. Now, we got just under 15 minutes remaining, roughly about 13 minutes remaining. So I want to give you my thoughts on tonight, as tonight was the tribute to Kobe Cave The late Kobe Cave, the former Boston Bruin and Edmonton Oiler who passed away last year, April of last year, while undergoing emergency brain surgery. And his widow, Emily Cave, she came tonight as part of the commemoration of... As part of the commemoration of the show, we look like we got a phone call coming in. Stay tuned. We got a caller on the line, actually. We got Cameron in Chelmsford. You're calling into the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. What's going on, bud?
How we doing, Shukri? I just got to get a word out here.
Sure.
I've been saying for years, since the cup run in 2019, that the Bruins are done. The window's been shut. The lack of draft, the lack of free agent success.
Mm-hmm.
How is this the team that we chose to continue on with this run with the top three that we got right now? Foligno can't stay on the ice. Howla can't score. Clifton's doing whatever. Mm-hmm. How bad is John Moore if he can't get in the lineup over scoreboard? The goaltender's doing all he can, and this might be rock bottom. I know it's the Oilers are a good team. They've got McDavid and everything, but this is just rough.
Cameron, I want to keep you on the line because. The thought that I have about this team is this. I'm not sure if I want to say that this is like rock bottom, but what I will say is that this is as frustrated as I have been for a Bruins team early in the season as much as I am right now. This is probably the most frustrated because, one, you look at this team, and one of the concerns that I had going into the season was secondary scoring. And this wasn't a problem that was just only relegated to tonight's game, but rather what you saw was this is a team that's playing against one of the elite teams in the league right now, and Edmonton is for real. Let's be completely honest with ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. This Edmonton Oilers team is not a fluke. They are deep. It's bigger than Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. You talk about guys like Jesse Puljujärvi, who, by the way, may be one of the now really good young up and coming forwards in a league that plays in Edmonton that no one talks about unless you watch Oilers hockey. But to your point, Cameron, this is really a problem in terms of philosophy and as well as the way that this team was put together, because defensively they are absolutely porous.
Oh my gosh, it's so horrible. I don't know. I just don't understand how. I know Forsberg had a lot of block shots. That's his MO. He's not half bad on. He's not exactly terrible on 5-on-5, as the metrics say. But
yeah,
PK, everything he's doing is bad. I've been talking about secondary scoring for years. You can go back everything I've said. Check my Twitter if you want to go find that. I've been talking about secondary scoring being a problem for years. When you and it goes even back to when we played in the playoffs. When you played the Lightning in the playoffs, they got guys like Blake Coleman, Yanni Gourde, guys like that, who can not only knock the heck out of you, but they can score. If we played the Islanders last year, they're deep. The Islanders are so deep. We had no business even being in that series, and Carlo going down was honestly the death nail. But how the first line goes, the team goes. It's been the same way for the last 4 years. Coyle's not a second line center. We know that.
Yeah.
We know that. And I feel bad for Cassidy. There's only so much he can do with the roster he's given. It really falls on Neely and Sweeney because they have not built this team. They've not drafted well. And every player they've tried to hit on has fizzled. They need to figure it out. And the team just needs to be better. More work ethic just needs to be better.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the phone call so much. Thank you so much, Cameron. Look forward to talking to you again.
You. All right. Thank you.
And one of the things that has really rubbed me the wrong way is when you talk about secondary scoring and Don Sweeney and as well as Cam Neely, I look at those two guys and I wondered when David Krejci's announcement was made over the summer that he wasn't coming back and that he was going to go play in the Czech Republic and so forth, the question that I had immediately shortly after was, how are they going to replace Krejci on that second line? I'm not talking about replacing Krejci the player because, let's be honest, you cannot replace Krejci himself. But what I will say is this. You did absolutely nothing to fill in that really big gaping hole that is in your top six group. So now the Bruins have relegated themselves to relying on Charlie Coyle, who is not the answer at second line, and Jack Sitnicka, who's still trying to figure things out at the NHL level. And it's just absolutely frustrating and maddening to watch. And we're at a stretch now in which that I look at this team and I really begin to wonder, like, where and how is this team going to improve? How are they going to improve? Because I got news for you. The schedule moving forward doesn't get any easier. You got the Devils coming up, okay. You got Montreal coming up. You got the Flyers after the Sunday game against Montreal. You got, 5 days in between games? Until next Saturday, you're in Philadelphia against the Flyers, and then you're back home like on the 21st against the Calgary Flames. But the reality is this. When you talk about the Bruins and the issues that they have, this has to worry you. This really has to worry you as to like what the next moves are going to be for this upcoming season. I just think about the second line. But the third and fourth line is just equally as bad as the second line has been. And I'm sorry. It doesn't matter who you have in net. And I know a lot of Bruin fans have been crying for Tuukka Rask to come back. But even if Tuukka Rask were to come back tomorrow, it does not eradicate the issues that the Bruins still have. Secondary scoring. Now, we are a long ways off between now and the trade deadline. But if you are a Bruins fan and you're honest with yourself, this is not a good look. This is really worrisome. And if you weren't concerned before, I'm asking you. No. Let me change that. Entirely. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you to ring the alarm. Ring the alarm. Because, folks, if you honestly think that this team can make noise in a division that is going to be very tightly contested, you are going to be in for a rude awakening. I hate to be that guy. But as it currently stands, right now, in a division, This is where the Bruins are. They're fifth in the Atlantic. They're fifth. Your top teams in the Atlantic right now, Florida, Toronto, Detroit. I mean, Detroit has no business being top three in the Atlantic, but here we are. They're only a point ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning at that. And again, I know it's still early. I get all of that. But I am worried, big picture-wise, regarding the Boston Bruins. I am very worried. If you have any thoughts on the show, final opportunity, hit me up now at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Got maybe another 2 minutes remaining before I am out of here. Button Pushers takes over at 11 o'clock. So if you want to hit me up, now is the time to do it. I got two open lines for you to call in and talk to me about your thoughts on this Bruins team right now and where they currently are. So in the meanwhile, I'm going to give you my final thoughts, brought to you by yours truly, Shukarites, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Man, listen, the big news today that Odell Beckham Jr. is signing with the Los Angeles Rams doesn't shock me. I'm not disappointed. Kudos to the man. But my biggest thing with Odell Beckham is that you're going into a situation in which that the Rams, that the way that they've looked so far, with the exception of their Sunday night game against the Tennessee Titans, they look like a team that could very possibly be representing the NFC in Super Bowl 56 come this February in their home stadium in Inglewood, California. How bad does he want to be a part of that team and be a contributing factor to that team? Because, as we all know, Odell Beckham Jr. has only played in the playoffs only one time. That was 2016, and that was the season that he went on that ill-fated bowl trip before the wildcard game against the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs. That was his only postseason appearance in his career. Time will tell. Wish I had a lot more time to talk about that particular big development story today in the NFL. But don't worry. Next week, I'll be here, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., live to talk about the NFL, the Patriots' big game coming up against the Cleveland Browns. And it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a really good one. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. I'll be back here with you, regular slotted time, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free From Radio. Looking forward to talking with you again on Monday. Have a good night, everybody, and I'll talk to you then. Hit me up on social media, at Shukri Writes. Follow me on Instagram, @SWritesRadio_. Have a good night, everybody. Later.